It's a bit of a difficult task that has been given in the presence of our Satiza who are sitting here. But because the request came from the madrasa, and of course it is the request is actually the command and instruction of our Hazrat Muhtamim Sahib. So a few weeks ago, Qari Abdullah Sahib phoned me and asked me. So obviously we could not say no. So subsequent to that, and after the monthly majlis, that Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Saeed Sahib has at a Jami Masjid, I went to Hazrat Mufti Sahib and told him that I've been requested to give some advice to the students. So what does Hazrat Mufti Sahib suggest I speak on, and what do I share with our fellow students, our colleagues here? So Mufti Sahib mentioned 3 points. So inshallah I will just elaborate on those points. I'll mention the points and inshallah elaborate on those points inshallah. So the first point that Hazrat Mufti Sahib advised me to speak about was sincerity, ikhlas. Alhamdulillah, we are studying all the time, and in the kitabs we read many ahadith regarding ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala grant us that sincerity and make it such that all our actions and whatever we do in our personal life also, and as khidmat of deen also, be solely for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Recently in the Durban program which was held for the Abnai Qadim Day, our Hazrat Mawlana Musa Sahib, in the very beginning of his advice, Mawlana Musa Pereira Sahib mentioned that in the beginning when a person starts doing some work, then he has ikhlas, he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But as time goes, then slowly things start creeping up and intention starts changing. And that's why we have to be very careful of our niyat, of our intention. The famous hadith we all know where Hazrat Abu Musa Rilano says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked about a person who was fighting, who fights to show his bravery, another fights for the sake of his community, to stand for his people, and another fights to show off, which of them in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, the one who fights solely that Allah's name be elevated in the world, he is in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So our intention has to be clear. And like we always hear, that we should always be aware and see our intentions at the beginning of our action, during the action, at the end. And to gain ikhlas, our ulama and our elders tell us that we should make a lot of dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for ikhlas, because something that only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can give us. And practically how to gain this ikhlas, that by being in the company of our pious elders, being connected to them, taking the advice on every matter. Why we say this? Because we are doing some work, we are doing some action, and then something else comes up and we feel like, okay, there'll be benefit in that, and let us do that. And we will tell ourselves, and our nafs will also explain to us that no, you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So by not consulting with anyone, not taking advice from anyone, we won't know what to do and how to do, and we won't be able to keep a control over our intentions. We hear again and again of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi that how many times he was offered posts in other institutions in India while he was an ustad at Saharanpur Mazahirul Uloom. But because he made mashura all the time with his Shaykh Mullah Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayh, he never moved. He was offered posts where he was being paid many times more than what he was getting in Saharanpur. But that mashura with his Shaykh, that should I, and his Shaykh told him, just stay where you are. Alhamdulillah helped him to stay his entire life till he made Jesus finally to Medina Sharif, till then to stay at one place and teach. So temptations will come, offers of money will come as we are students, and after that also when we are making khidmat of deen wherever, and fame will be in front of us, especially nowadays with so much of popularity over social media, etc. So this time we have to keep our nafs and our intention in control. And the easiest way is inshallah to keep contact with our elders and our mashayikh. Inshallah that will help us inshallah in keeping us under check with our intention. There's a famous incident that we hear again and again that once the Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullahi, he gave a bayan. He was very famous for giving his talks, very great orator and very powerful speaker. He used to give lengthy bayans, and people from all over used to come and listen. So on one occasion, people came to the Jami Masjid of Delhi, huge masjid, those who saw it, very big masjid, full to capacity, people sitting outside listening to his bayan, and a lengthy bayan, and he gave it very powerfully. And after he gave, everybody departed. He probably was reading 2 rakat salat or whatever, and he was the last one to leave the masjid. And he was leaving the masjid, he was going down the steps. So those who've been there have seen, there's a huge flight of steps to go up to the top to the masjid. As he was coming down, he saw one villager coming up in a rush. And he asked him that there was supposed to be a bayan here by Shah Ismail. Is the bayan over? So he said, yes, the bayan is over. So the villager was very disappointed. So he said, why? He says, no, I've come all the way from my village outside Delhi to listen to his bayan, but I got late and I missed it. So he said, no, nothing to worry about. I am Shah Ismail Shaheed. You sit here at the steps and I will give you the bayan again. And word for word, from beginning to end, he gave the bayan. Now ask ourselves, respected and fellow students, and if we are told to give a bayan to one person or two people, and how it, and to compare to a huge majma of thousands of people listening to us. So this was the ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala grant us also that ikhlas and that sincerity. So this was the first point. The second thing that the Mufti Sahib advised that we should share is that the responsibilities as students and as ulama, we should try to fulfill. Starting from gaining knowledge, ilm, gaining knowledge, understanding that knowledge while we are students, even after that also. And then we know the different stages. And then more important than that ilm is that amal, to practice on whatever we have learnt. And that is so important, we know that. And many times Shaitan will tell us that we will start practicing afterwards, but that afterwards never happens. We have to start today. There was a person who went to a shop for credit, you know. So he went, he asked the shopkeeper, I want to buy something, but I'll pay you later. So he said, read there, it was written there, cash today, credit tomorrow. Cash today, credit tomorrow. So the person got happy, he said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. Next day he came, the shopkeeper told him, read there, it's cash today, credit tomorrow. So like they say, tomorrow never comes. So we have to start while we are students. Allah give us all tawfiq, fixing our lives, making sure that we leave the wrong, and we do especially different gunas, and what is the faraiz and the wajibat, our salat with jamaat, and whatever else we have learned from our satiza, we have to practice on it. Inshallah, if we practice on it as students, then inshallah, even after we are finished, Allah Ta'ala will give us the tawfiq of continuing. Otherwise, nothing happened that after we finish, we are not practicing. And people notice this. People notice and they wonder that, you know what, this person is supposed to have knowledge, he's supposed to be an alim, he's supposed to be a hafiz of Quran, but he himself is not practicing on sunnah, he's not doing this, he's not doing this. We are all weak, we do make mistakes, but inshallah, if we try to practice on what we have learned. So that is the after ilm, what practice. And then whatever we learned, we have to propagate it to different permissible ways according to what our elders have shown us. We go out in the path of Allah in Jamaat through tasawuf, through teaching, learning and teaching. We teach in dars wa tadris. We have to involve ourselves. In fact, we have to spend the rest of our lives in this year. I remember we were in this masjid. We were finished in first year, in Mishkat Sharif. So that Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib Dhamma Barakatum was here. And that time, I think Mona Ziyad Hussain and I were in final year. So he was giving them some advice. He was giving them some advice regarding, and we were sitting behind, the Mishkat students were sitting behind, and he was encouraging that as an alim we should be teaching. He knows the mizaj and how it is in South Africa and how so many times we think of things, and because of thinking of our sustenance and our rosy, then we feel like getting involved in business and selling this and selling that. We don't say that it's haram, obviously it's not haram, it's permissible, but encouraging that we spend the rest of our lives in dars wa tadrees, teaching, making the effort of deen, benefiting others, benefiting ourselves. So he gave an example, he said, beautiful example, he said, if a dog comes to your house outside and you chase it away, but it doesn't move, and at night the thieves come and it barks, and because of that the thieves run away. Says the next morning, what will you do? You, even if your heart is hard and you are a miser, but still, because the dog, so to say, did you a favor, you will throw some meat or some food in front of him. So he says, inshallah, we are better than dogs, and Allah is more kareem than the owner of that house. So if we throw ourselves at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do the khidmat of deen, won't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after us? So Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. So together with acquiring ilm, we practice, and then we propagate to others. We spread this knowledge of deen, and then we prepare others to do the same. We prepare others to do the same. Inshallah, we do that, then inshallah, this ilm will benefit us and will benefit others. For that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, has given us the three efforts of deen, that is the efforts of tazkiyah, the efforts of the dars wa tadrees, and the effort of tabligh. Inshallah, if we occupy ourselves with these three efforts, then inshallah, we will be able to do all of this inshallah, easily. There's a time and place for each one. We do it inshallah in its time. Inshallah, we will be able to prosper and we'll be able to go forward. And we will be able to benefit ourselves, and we'll be inshallah be able to benefit others. And all of this will become a sadqa jariya for us on the day of Qiyamah, a means of great thawab jariya, at least forever and forever inshallah. Ilmun yuntafa'u bi, even after we pass away, inshallah this will continue, as rewards will continue accruing. And then the third one, and probably this is the biggest challenge for us in today's times, in the present conditions we are in, as Mufti Sahib said, that share with the students and share with the friends, that we should remain on the mizaj of the madrasa. The mizaj of the madrasa that we studied in, alhamdulillah, we are all connected here to the Darul Uloom, alhamdulillah. With a lot of effort, this Darul Uloom is in existence with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, very, very important. We stay on this mizaj, and we connect, and we pass on deen, and we ourselves also practice, firstly ourselves, and then we pass it on to others in the way that we have learned from our satiza, and what the mizaj and the temperament and the manhaj of the madrasa is. So this is something very, very important. We know as we go out of the madrasa, once you will leave, there are so many temptations. As Mufti mentioned this, that even if you are alone sheep, if you are alone, if you are alone also, you don't buckle under pressure. You don't buckle under pressure and give in to our principles. Because once we start living and living the way of what we have learned from our akabirin, what we have learned from our elders, our pious elders, from our satiza, from the nahj that they have told us about and that we have learned, then we will slowly, slowly drift away and we will end up going somewhere else. As Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he, when explaining this ayat, the dua, the famous dua that we read in the Quran in the 19th juz, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, that Allah give us coolness of our eyes, from our families, our children, and then make us the leaders of the muttaqin, of the pious. So apparently the dua looks like we are asking for status, that we want to be leaders. But then he explains it in a beautiful way by saying, what is the meaning of this here? He says, نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا وَيَقْتَنِي بِنَا مَنْ بَعْدَنَا, that this is the meaning of it, that we will follow those who were before us, and then inshallah, people will, who are coming after us, will follow us. But the first condition is we have to follow those people who are ahead of us. And those people who are rightly guided, alhamdulillah, who we witnessed while we were here in madrasa, 6, 7 years, 9 years, some of us 10 years, 11 years, whatever time we spent, we saw these asatiza of ours. We can't claim that they were perfect. We can't claim anyone is ma'soom besides Anbiya alayhi salam. We know that. But we saw their lives. They tried. They practiced on sunnah. Their lives, their words and their actions were in conformity to each other. They were not contradicting each other. So we follow such people and inshallah we will remain safe. You see, when we speak to the public regarding the present day fitna, is that if a person, as a public, a person, he doesn't look after himself and doesn't follow the right people, he can very easily get misguided and land up somewhere else. But as students or as ulama, if we don't follow the right people, then not only we will get misguided, but we will be a means of misguiding others. Allah Ta'ala protect us. In the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala praises the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, and he says, and there Allah Ta'ala praises them, and he talks about وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those who follow them. So a lot of encouragement on following those people who were before us. But this, respected fellow and fellow students, requires a great quality of tawazu. Many times we dream, we hear the stories of the past ulama and our pious elders, and we wish in our heart that I wish I can be like them and I can be like that day in the future. But how did they become like that? The hadith of Rasulullah says, "Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah." That if you are humble, you humble yourself in front for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will elevate you. So if you humble yourself in front of your pious elders and you follow them, then the izzat Allah has given them. You're not doing it for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that izzat also. Or if we're not looking for that izzat, but Allah will grant you that qabuliyah. But if we feel that we are equal to our elders and we know better, maybe we did very, very well in our studies, mashallah. We have students sitting here, mashallah, who have done very, very well, in maybe in their final year, in their first year, whatever. We've done very well. We've got, and we are so good, we are very well researched and this and that. But because of that, that doesn't put us above our asatiza. Our asatiza, they, besides the knowledge Allah has blessed them, besides the experience Allah has blessed them, it is the qabuliyah that Allah made them our ustad. A parent is a parent, no matter what, how rich or how famous the child can become, the parent will still remain the parent, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed him there as a parent. Same with our asatiza. So this requires a lot of tawadu. If we do not have this quality of tawadu, where we don't want to humble ourselves in front of them, then the end result will be, we will feel that we also know, and we also have an opinion. And we, our opinion, never mind if it contradicts theirs, we know what we are doing. And then we slip, and sometimes we end up very, very far away. Allah Ta'ala protect us. As the Mufti Sahib in last month's majlis mentioned an incident, he mentioned that once somebody came to Hazrat Maulana Imam Al-Hassan Rahmatullah Ali and said to him, you know, everybody is getting bored. So many years of tabligh, it's only the same 6 points, 6 points, 6 points. So why don't you change it? You know, you are now the Amir of the world, at the time when he was the Amir. So you are the Amir of the world. Now you change it, add on something, subtract, whatever. So the usuls of tabligh are there. So the answer of Hazrat is, what is something? He says, "Bhai, dekho hum to lakir ke fakir." That see, we just follow. We are followers. Now in itself, as far as hadith also is concerned, it was very, very great, very knowledgeable, all of that day. But end of the day, the lesson to take from there, that whatever we're doing, whether it's in tabligh, whether it is in our teaching, whether it's in our personal lives, we have to put ourselves under our asatiza, under, and like we say, that according to the mizaj and the temperament of the madrasa. Now, when like we say, buckle under pressure, when we go outside and we are faced, and this is what is happening, as young people, we go outside and we are faced with the day-to-day pressures that is happening, things that are happening, and this one is saying that, and that one is saying that, and people are telling us, but there'll be more benefit in doing this or doing that and doing that. At that time there, we are very pressurized. At that time we find it difficult to remain steadfast. But again, inshallah, number one, by reading the tawanih, the biographies of our pious elders, with a clear mind, with an open mind, inshallah we will see They were not ordinary people. We will read and we will see what they did in circumstances when things got going very, very hard against them. But they remained steadfast, they remained firm. For example, one example we hear from our Ustaz is the incident of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. The Muftiza mentioned, there many times he mentioned that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh in his later life used to make dua for one gangster. So his son one day asked him, why are you making, that's a gangster, not a good person, but why are you making special dua for him? He says that that gangster, he used to come to prison when I was in prison. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, we all know about it, because of a certain aqidah in it, the government locked him up and they used to torture him. So he says that gangster used to go in the torture chamber prior to me. So when he used to be coming out, he used to tell me, Imam Sahab, you see me, they hit me here, they torture me. But when I go out, I go back to all my funny ways. I don't give up. Na'uzubillah, it is wrong. Now you are on haq, you are on the truth. Please, you don't give up. He said that used to give me such encouragement. I used to go through that whole session of torture. But alhamdulillah, he never wavered from his standpoint. He remained steadfast on what he believed in. On his aqidah, he remained steadfast. In more recent times, in our akabir ulama Dioban, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayh, when he passed away, and people were giving him ghusl, they saw a lot of marks on his body. So they were wondering, where's all this marks from? And then Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmadi rahmatullah alayh, he said, I know these marks. These marks were given to him. He was being tortured in the prison of Malta. When he was told, and before every torture session he was told, just review your fatwa. Just change your standpoint and we'll let you go. You'll have a good life. He said, no, I will revive the sunnah of Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu. And then he used to go in for the torture. He used to be lashed, hit, and he used to come out. So these are our kabir. Inshallah, if we read their life stories, that itself will help us, even if we're in a far corner of the world, and though everyone around us is doing other things, inshallah, we'll remain on the standpoint that we're supposed to be. Now, sometimes we are, outside and there. Now, our elders tell us again and again, don't worry too much about what people say. You do what you're supposed to do. But as insan, we get affected. Sometimes we will hear them say that, you know what, you talking about your ustad, what do you know? They in the four walls of the Darulum. They know nothing, man. They don't know what is happening on the outside. Other times they will tell us that, you know what, man, your ustads are making too much tashaddud. And this, Allah forbid, we hear it from our own friends and graduates of our own madrasa. Imagine we talk of our asatiza. In what are they making tashaddud? If they are sticking to something which is in Sharia, what is mentioned in the kitabs, in the mutun, what tashaddud is that? If they are not giving in to today's circumstances, what tashaddud is that? Whatever they call it, we should not be affected by statements. Sometimes we will hear the statement that they're making a big issue of a very small thing. Such a small thing, they're making a big issue. Allahu Akbar. I intended not to say this example, but I'm going to say it, inshallah. It is a bit, of a difficult example, but just an example, right? Because the one common thing is that this photography issue, they only making a big issue of photography. So once, when this example was mentioned by our Mufti Sahab, in front of Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Damat Barakatuh, he was about to leave for the airport. He was in Palm Ridge that time by Haji Shabir Lambat's house, Daman Barakatuh. So, that time the discussion was digital photography and this, is it permissible? Many years back. So, at that time, we know that Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri is very, very staunch on this point of photography, very, very upset when people took his photo without him knowing. But nevertheless, at that time, our Mufti Sayyidab Daman Barakatuh mentioned this incident. He says, one person took a photo of his spouse in a private condition. I'm just going to say it in those words, right? So, if you say, okay, there's nothing, it's a husband and there's a wife and looking at the photo. Somehow, and he happened to be a student in the Dora class. And somehow that photo got shared to his other classmates. Now ask ourselves, just because the photo was taken. Now where does leave that person to hang his head in shame? And that his wife's picture in that condition goes around to the rest of his classmates and to whoever. Allah Ta'ala save us. So when they are saying, they are not making a small issue of a big, not making a big issue of a small issue. It is a big issue. Nevertheless, that's one example. But many times this will be said, but again, we should not buckle under pressure and that and be apologetic for the stance of our elders and our asatiza and our madrasa. Just sitting and listening to them, speaking things, not worrying about their own safety and their future, and speaking the truth, haqq goes, what they are speaking the truth in front of everybody, this should make us appreciate what they are doing. So, this thing of them being, so to na'uzu billah, narrow-minded, behind closed doors or in the madrasa, one person asked me, he says, you know what, he actually quoted and took the name of one of our senior ulama and said, that you know, he doesn't know the conditions happening in the world, that's why he has this opinion. So then I pondered over, I never got a chance, the person told me on the phone, when I heard him that, I didn't answer him there. I told him, brother, I'll meet you one day, I'll explain to you. But till now, I've tried on a few occasions to meet him, I haven't got an opportunity to meet and explain to him. See, one is, we always hear this from our elders, well, one is halat, conditions, which we are all faced with. And one is hukam, command, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people, he told me other people, you know, they know more. So one is a person who's affected with halat and conditions. And he looks at halat and conditions and he makes decision and he gives fatwa, whatever he does. Then he's going to be affected already and he's going to say what he's saying. On the other hand, we have our satiza, our kabirin, who... They're looking at halat. They know. The students speak to them, make mashwara with them. They travel the world. They know. A lot of things they know. But they are seeing what is the hukam, what is the command of Allah. What is Quran and Hadith saying? Because of their engrossment and their majhuri with Quran and Hadith in these circumstances, they will tell us what to do in these circumstances. So we should appreciate it instead of us being critical. Like we said, if we have tawadu in us, then we will not end up saying they have tashaddud in them and this and that. Who denies that when a message must be put forward, it must be put forward in the correct way, in a nice way? فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَ. Yes, but when something has to be said and the truth has to be said, then they are saying it, we should appreciate it. So wherever, alhamdulillah, we are doing the work of deen, Allah Ta'ala accept us, Allah give us tawfiq. The present students also will be going out whenever, whether it's this year, coming years, inshallah. There's so much to be done. There's so much to be done. And we know what is happening. We cannot lose hope. We cannot lose hope. Circumstances on what is happening there. There are a lot of negatives, but there are positives also. But inshallah, if we keep our dhyan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our tawajjuh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we keep the quality of tawazu in us, and we keep ourselves under our mashayikh, and very important, we keep akhirat in front of us, that we are going to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our doing, for our own actions, and for what we are telling others also. Then inshallah, wherever we are in the world inshallah, we will keep steadfast on what is right, we will remain firm, we will do what we're supposed to do, and inshallah then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us qabuliyat, acceptance. A person might have qabiliyat, he might not have. It's an added thing if a person has, intelligence or whatever qabiliyat, but that must turn into qabuliyat where he gets accepted. So if he inshallah does things sincerely, he worries about his own actions, he is worried about propagating deen, and very, very firmly he remains, even if it's few, another common thing that he said, but you know, look, majority of the people are doing this, and in that country so many people are doing that, and that country is ours, and Muhtamim Sahib Dhamma Barakatuh, Allah Ta'ala give him good health and long life. He told us many years ago that when the effort of Haqq is started, always the numbers are few, but don't worry about that. Continue doing what you're supposed to do, and inshallah, if Allah accepts it, that's all that we need. Even if we are few in number, Allah Ta'ala accepts it, this is what we need. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of practicing on what is being said, firstly myself and inshallah all of our fellow students inshallah. And if anything was said that disrespectful to our satiza who are sitting here, various of our satiza are sitting here, then please forgive us inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of practicing. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.